So what happened to Ted? Huh?
I came around here at 1 o'clock. Huh? The dogs were loose. They were not on the line. They were front of my office. Then I came here. The door was completely open. Nobody was around. Then I went up to the sala. Somebody was filling in, you know, a big bottle of water and let it run. Yeah. And then I went into the sala and the door to the Buddha Rupas, you know, was open, not locked. What is that? Nobody was around. Huh? Just because I'm not there in the morning, you know, means, you know, I mean, you can let all the things loose, huh? Nobody feels responsible for anything, huh? The last person closes the door here when he leaves. Yeah? And the same in the sala. He locks it and puts a key away. I mean, or is somebody else there, you know? Otherwise we have to, you know, to establish a prasala who is there all day long. Huh? You like that? None of us likes that. Yeah? I mean, anybody can come in, you know, take one of the Buddha Rupas, you know, and disappear. Yeah? Do you know that? You hear that? You're sleeping fast. Yeah? And here, anybody's invited to go in there, you know, go and touch the fridge and so on. Huh? Nobody feels responsible, huh? No.
Michele says, huh?
But this attitude is wrong. Hmm? If you leave this place, you look that it is locked. The door doesn't have to be locked here, you know, but I mean, at least closed. But that door has to be locked. And leaving the bottle, you know, and the water flows and flows and flows. Yeah? It's drinking water, yeah? It's rain water. Too lazy to wait until it is full, you know, going here and forgetting it. Huh? That's not the right attitude here to live here in the monastery, huh? Understand that, huh?
I just don't believe it. And then, you know, I mean, it's also, I mean, you did my kutya, didn't you? Just before? And it wasn't locked? Why? What? Huh? I mean, I can sit here for hours. Huh? Anybody can go into. Yeah?
If you know that I'm going there, you know, then you don't need to lock it. But I don't think that you can read my thoughts and my intentions, huh?
We are responsible. Every one of us is responsible. You know that the things are in order. Hmm?
I guess I have to go through the monastery more often, huh? Especially on days like that, you know, washing day. Nobody, you know, everybody cares only about his robes, you know, and then disappears, huh? That's not the way to be in this monastery.
So, questions about the practice? Yeah?
When I'm doing body contemplation, should I try to create a sense of disgust or like nonsense? Because
no.
if I just take the skin out and this kind of thing, it's okay. Like I can look. Mm-hmm. It's not pleasant, but it's not very disgusting.
Okay.
But if I go to the organs and the food being digested, uh-huh. or if I imagine the flesh being rotten in the sun with flies,
uh-huh.
and is it, should I strive for this kind of thing?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You don't have to make it loathsome. You will find it loathsome. Or just, you know, just open up a fresh body, you know, with all the blood and the pus, you know, and the, you know, when you take off the skin, look underneath the skin, you know, these little greasy fat balls, yeah. so disgusting.
So like these images of the body that rotting.
Yeah, you can do that. All sorts of things. Yeah. You can let it decompose, yeah. I mean, you know the smell of rotten vegetables? It's disgusting. Yeah? I mean, in Bandat, you know, we always had a very nice place for loathsomeness. When you were sweeping around at the kitchen area, I mean, behind the ball washing area, I mean, that was a disgusting smell that came out, yeah. You probably avoided it. Yeah, but keep it at a low pace, yeah. Once in a while, yeah. And then more and more often, yeah. Don't stress it too much.
I'm trying to like make it interesting.
Yeah.
But sometimes I blow up the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just look at, you know, I mean, motorcycle accident, you see that often in Brazil, motorcycle accident, you know, poop, and you know, skull is open, you know, the brain flows out. And in Thailand, it's good, you know, you always get it at the first page of the newspaper.
Should I do it like only after concentration, or can I do it any time?
You can do it any time, yeah. And see, you know, and what is then, you know, after a while, what is then necessary, you know? I mean, look at this rotten things as your body. Yeah. The identification with your body is just the same way. That is important.
I try to do while eating, but it doesn't last.
No.
Ajahn, when you speak about the khandhas, you mentioned in the first khandha there is rupa, and there's the physical body and the senses, the six senses,
mm-hmm.
including thinking. Yeah. And in the other khandha, sankhara, there's also four. Is there any difference, or why is it mm-hmm. two kinds of thinking?
The thinking is the sense of thinking, you know, that comes with the body. But, you know, thought is also without the body there. I mean, it's not the same kind of thinking, yeah.
Okay. But for us, we can't really.
I mean, you can't, you know, you can't really differentiate.
What is thought of body and what is thought of?
What is the thought as a khandha? Yeah, I mean sankhara. Yeah, can also mean phenomena. Yeah, so I mean there are phenomena, there are thoughts. Yeah, I mean thoughts in the form of the, I mean thoughts. Yeah, in distinction to to sanya, I mean they are very short thoughts. Yeah, they are not long, lengthy thoughts. Yeah, lengthy thoughts is always a mixture, belongs to the khandha of sanya. But in the beginning, I mean, don't take the six senses into account, yeah. Just forget about them. Just find, you know, the physical, really physical, yeah, gross material body. Yeah. Once you understand that, you know, I mean, then you can ask yourself, why do I want this body, you know, and then you come to the senses. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't take this body, you know, without the senses.
No, the different stages of body investigation, right?
Yeah.
Asubha, then something else, and at the end, the senses.
I mean, a super is this is just a long, it's a long time. Yeah, I mean, it all will, you know, at the appropriate time it will come in. So don't even worry, you know. I mean, if you go the way, you know, I mean, it will appear. Yeah, it is, you know. I mean, from my experience, you know, the work that you have to do right now, it will just appear in front of your eyes. It will become clear.
So it goes from gross to subtle.
To very subtle.
Because you could actually also say, why not contemplate the fluid nature of the senses, for example, taste.
And then yeah, I mean, yes, like, yes, you can, yeah. But that is just one thing, yeah. Because then you leave out, you know, I mean, that's what that's what the Westerners train to do, you know. They don't want to see the loathsomeness of the body, they see just the anicca of the senses, yeah.
That's not enough.
No, it's not enough. No. Because then you don't see the greed for the senses, or you don't see the hate for the senses. I mean, the first major step that you have to do is, you know, to separate out, you know, the citta from the body. And that's very difficult. Yeah. And then you can go deeper and deeper.
You say separate the citta from the body. Is that in meditation when the awareness goes like to the heart?
Mm. When I, you know, I mean, I explain it quite often in my talks. Huh? Mm. Put the body in front of you. Yeah. Until it clicks, you know, until you see, you know, when all the body parts are there, and then you look at, you know, the body parts, you know. And when there's nothing here on the cushion, you know, I mean, sooner or later it will click, you know, that is, I mean, it's a separation.
But in the talks you also say that the separation can happen the first time, good. The first time, mm-hmm. Or maybe the second time, or the tenth time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your setting, yeah. For me, it took 3 times, yeah.
3 times, just... To have an insight or a complete cut?
Yeah, I mean it cut, yeah. I mean I could see it, you know. It disintegrated, yeah. And then there was the citta and then there was the body. It's an insight, you know.
And does insight last? Like
it doesn't... It lasts. But then you have to make it permanent. With the other two fetters. Yeah.
What does it mean to move to the other fetters?
I mean, it is like, you know, I mean, you like I said yesterday, you cut down the tree, you know, very close, you know, so that it, you know, topples over, but it doesn't topple over. So, I mean, if you stop your work there, you know, it will grow back.
So this separation is not sutpana?
No. It belongs, you know, I mean, it is one of the fetters there. And if you listen to the talks very carefully, you know, I explain it what you need then. You know, if all the three fetters are cut down, you know, to the size of a what do you say, small thread or thin thread, yeah? I mean, and then you need to go into upper to be able to cut it completely.
And the other two fetters, you mean the sila, keeping the sila and doubt.
Okay. And doubt. And doubt is something difficult for you.
Well, with the doubt, it's not too much regarding the teaching or the Dhamma, whether there's hell and, and heaven, but the doubt I have is more if I can do it.
If you can do it, or what?
Yeah.
Well, why shouldn't you be able to do it?
Don't see any results.
See, that is the problem. That is.
Does this also belong to the fetter?
No. It belongs to the kilesas that want to make you give up. Belongs to your delusion. I tell you, I was very good at sati. Yeah? So I mean, for me, these things, you know, were just real. Yeah? When I did that.
So the stronger you do the sati, the more real you can,
yeah,
you can do the exercise.
Yeah, of course. The stronger your sati, the more objective you are. The more objective you are, the clearer you see. And the real, the more real it is. That's why there is always the stress, you know, on sati.
I think that visualization is developed separated from rest meditation and samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or it's like together. The
No. I mean, it is really it's really separate. Yeah. I mean, you don't concentrate on your breath, or you don't concentrate on the Buddha. Yeah?
No, what I mean is that the more you have sati, the more you are aware of the more you have the power of concentration.
Yeah.
The better your visualization.
Oh yes, but it still takes, you know. I mean, the visualization, you know. I mean, for me it was enough, you know, when I did that. But then, you know, I mean, really to do the body contemplation, the visualization of the body itself, you know, of the internal organs and the things, that took me a long time. Yeah? 9 months, yeah, I mean, daily training.
But the other exercise you could do
each? It could do it, you know, I mean, it just...
But isn't it the same?
Nope, it's not the same.
Because you don't see, because you're used to see the hand, the foot, no, the brain.
Isn't the first one non-self? Is that what you're talking about? When
yeah.
you take the Buddha from?
Yes.
And the other one is asubha, which is quite different.
It yeah. is, you know, I mean, yeah. Asubha is seeing the loathsomeness of the body, and there you see non-self.
Yeah.
Or you see that the body is non-self. So there are two different aspects. I mean, seeing that the body is not self is much easier, yeah, than you know, I mean, seeing the low softness of the body and seeing greed and hate come up.
Yeah. Do we have to do the loathsomeness?
Not in the beginning. Yeah, I mean, for you as monks, you know, it's mandatory. The moment sexual desire comes up, you know, you have to be able to instantly flip that object over. That's why you have to do it, yeah? But you don't want to do it because...
spoils everything.
Yeah, because it's so exciting, yeah? That's why a monk, you know, I mean, it's a prerequisite.
Requirement.
Huh?
Requirement.
Requirement.
Can be a close one or
what?
The imagination, you a girl or us, anyone.
I mean, the object that comes up and rises your sexual desire, you turn into something decomposing, yeah? Or in something very old, yeah? Or, you know, just rip off the skin, you know, of this, yeah?
I heard that Ajahn Mahabua, he had deep powers of concentration, but he was not sure that his kilesa for sexual desire was really rooted
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
So he contemplated a very attractive body
yes.
for days.
Yeah.
And then he said that he changed the labels that he put. Like, why is an old body not attractive and a young body attractive? Like,
where did you read that?
I heard Tanisaro or Tanisaro Bhikkhu telling
about... That's not what he said, yeah.
No? How was it?
I mean, he just said it, you know. I mean, he wasn't sure. He was doing always a supa, yeah. So, I mean, if you do that for months, yeah, sexual desire doesn't come up, yeah, because you don't allow supa pictures in. That's why he said, you know, I mean... There's no more sexual desire. I mean, there's something wrong. I mean, I would have known it, yeah. And then for 3 days he brought up only supa pictures. Mm. Yeah. to see, in order to see that sexual desire is still there. But you know, of course, on the first day, you know, yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, the second day it still doesn't work. On the third day you see it coming up, and then he explains it, you know, how to deal with it.
Who said that there is no sexual desire? You are finished. Surely it's the kilesas.
Yeah, it's surely the kilesas, and that's why he doubted it. Yeah?
Yeah,
it's the same thing, you know, when he was caught up with Avicca. Yeah, he said, "Oh, I'm finished." Yeah, but there's something wrong with this kind of yeah.
And then what did he do? Like when he found out that there's still sexual desire,
he balanced it. Yeah. Then what he did is, you know, I mean, he brought up the asupa, you know, and he destroyed it with asupa. And then he brought up asupa and destroyed it with supa. And that is a lot. Yeah.
And destroyed with supa then?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That's beyond your understanding.
Yeah, one of the sutras I have had our teacher once explained, in your hand can convert kind of both ways.
Yeah.
Suba into Suba and Suba into Asuba.
Yeah, that's right. And then you can walk. You know? I mean, I do explain it sometimes. I mean, there are not so many talks about it, you know. I do explain it sometimes.
2009,
yeah. Because I thought, you know, that you were up to the task, and now I see. Now I'm stuck with Sati. I mean, all the talks about Sati. Yeah. There's no more interesting talk. Yeah?
I heard the Buddha said that you should transform what is attractive in loathsomes and what see the loathsomeness in what is attractive and what is attractive and what is loathsome. Is that what you mean?
No, no. If I understand the Lord Buddha correctly, you know, is that that you see the loathsomeness within the beauty, yeah. And that you see the beauty within the loathsomeness, and that is very similar. To, you know, what Lungta Mahabua did, you know, with flipping it over and flipping it over. Yeah.
But how can I see, like, the beauty in a decomposing piece of flesh?
That's, you just don't worry about it.
I once heard a monk on YouTube saying that these asubha practice with visualizing it, cannot work because these visualizations are not real. It's just
that's why he doesn't want to do it. I mean, it's the same thing, you know. A monk on YouTube says, you know, I mean, samadhi is not for Western people. Yeah. I mean, it's just complete BS. Yeah.
Yes.
Bullshit. People say all the, I mean, don't you say things, you know, I mean, all day long? Huh? Does it have to be the truth just because a monk tells it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Just because I tell you, does it have to be true?
Yes.
No? Same thing? Even the Lord Buddha said it, yeah? Huh? Follow the way, and if you see it leads to good, you know, then, yeah? Then have faith in the teacher.
Sariputta or someone, and the Lord Buddha told him something, he said, "Do you believe me?" And he said, "No."
Was it Sariputta? But he knew, you know, what the Lord Buddha was pointing at. He would have scolded him if I said, "I believe you." But if he would have been, if he would say, "I trust you."
Yeah.
Then also I blame to the Sariputta one. What kind of monk is like that?
What kind of monk is that who doesn't believe the Lord Buddha? Huh?
Yeah. Then Buddha appreciated what he did. This is my good son. He don't believe what all it. He just always see.
I think it was him as well who said, like, he doesn't have faith in the Lord Buddha. he doesn't have any face because.
Yeah, but then I'm sure that he was already an Arahant.
Yeah. But so they asked, so they people came and asked like, and do you have faith? I don't have faith in him. And they didn't understand why, what he means.
But two different kind of lay people, he would have given a different answer.
Yeah.
He would have said, you know, I have lots of faith, you know,
yeah.
In the Lord Buddha.
But probably it was confusing for those lay people, yeah. Like they have so much faith to their teacher.
Yeah.
There's another disciple which is chief disciple and does everything for Lord Buddha, but he has no faith in him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need faith, you know, I mean. I mean, you have to remember the times, you know, at the times where the Lord Buddha was, you know, I mean, people had so much faith in the Hindu teachers, yeah? And what did that give him, give them? Nothing. You know, that faith, you know, can ruin your your question. Yeah? And that's probably what he was pointing at. I mean, you always have to be, you always have to take a step backward, you know, and look what he's saying, you know, does it make sense, yeah? Not only having faith in what this teacher, yeah? If you kill that cow, you know, if you slaughter that ox and devote it to that god, you know, then your misery goes away, you know. I mean, people had faith and did it. Yeah? Yeah. The misery didn't go away.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
Ajahn Panya, I think one of the talk mentioned about this belief in the people lived in Buddha's time. They knew, they believed that Atta means is a full satisfaction kind of thing. And that's why what Buddha said, Anatta kind of thing.
I don't know, I mean, I don't know what you're referring to or what text, you know. But people, not only at the times of the Lord Buddha, I mean, everybody believes in self. Yeah? I'm this, I'm a lawyer, yeah? Yeah, I mean, I'm an engineer, yeah? I'm a philosopher, I'm a author, yeah? And I'm like this, I'm like that. I mean, in order to counteract that, you know, I mean, and he saw, you know, the three principles of this universe is anatta, anicca, dukkha. That's why he was teaching anatta. Because people believe in himself, or sometimes they project this, their own self into a god. But and that's what he wanted to counteract.
It's strange that in the Thai tradition, you sometimes hear the real self.
What?
In the Thai tradition, you sometimes hear the term, the real self.
The I don't true, understand.
The true self. The chitta is the true self. Something you don't really read in the
sutra. Yeah, I mean, it is confusing, yeah.
And sometimes when in the talk, when you speak about it, I notice that you stop, you don't want to say it, but then you say, it is what you could call the true self.
Yes.
So you hesitate to really say self.
Yes, I do hesitate because it's not really a self, because, I mean, a self includes all the other beings as well. Yeah? It's our true, normally I say it's our true nature. Yeah? But sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes I say it, you know, I mean, I heard it, you know, but very cautiously.
I noticed that Mata Mahabua, he does the same thing. He says the chitta is the true self. But like right after, he says that in the end of the practice, even the one who knows has, you have to go beyond that.
Yes.
And that is where the true thing is.
Yeah.
So right. When I read that, I don't understand. I have the same doubt.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, like, is it because the one who knows it's more stable than this type of experiment, the body dysfunction?
The one who knows is still in this conventional reality. Yeah? And what he said, you know, I mean, he describes it as puru, yeah? I mean, the one who knows, yeah? But then, in the end, there is not the one who knows.
Yes.
There is just knowing. So, and that is what is the real essence. Yeah.
So the one who knows, you could say, that's the soul. Because it's still...
It's not, I mean, why finding other, you know, I mean, why yeah. finding other things, you know, I mean, they are going to confuse us, yeah? Don't find other ideologies, yeah? Terminologies. It's very difficult, you know, I mean, how can you express something in a conventional language that only knows good and bad, yeah? That is neither good nor is not bad, yeah? It's neither black nor white, yeah? That's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, neither am I nor am I not. Can you understand that? See, okay, then forget it for the moment.
I think that's what attracts me the most to Theravada Buddhism.
Mm.
That's the line between what language can say and what language. It's very clear, it's not like a Mahayana or the teachings that they wanted to say everything with language.
Mm.
I think that makes more sense to me.
Mm.
But still, when I hear things like this is the one who knows, this is the true thing, then I got confused because I think, so this is what they should strive for, but...
Yeah, I mean, strive for it, you know, I mean, and then you can let go of the one. Yeah? Yeah? Just like, you know, some of the monks, some of the more advanced monks came to Lung Dharma, oh, this room is so empty. And then he said, get the hell out of there. Because you are still in this room. So this is really, I mean, and people love to read about these things because they're so interesting, yeah? Or sometimes they are mind-boggling, yeah? And then one wants to understand, but one cannot understand it because our understanding has a limitation. It cannot go beyond this conventional reality.
But it is kind of good because I remember the talk by Lonta Mahabua where he describes like his enlightenment.
Yeah?
And it's the same talk where he says that he would stick to Buddha all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that was when I saw that being a meditator is a 24-hour thing.
Yeah.
That motivated me to try to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is good for me to have this ideal,
yeah.
even though I cannot understand it.
No, that's correct. That's right, you know. I mean, even having this ideal, you know, I mean, if you put the ideal the highest, you know, I mean, then you go the furthest.
But I shouldn't try to understand.
No. I mean, if Lungta said something that I didn't understand, I realized I don't understand, so I passed it over, you know. And then 5 years later, I read it again and I understood it, yeah. So the understanding comes through the practice, yeah. The more you practice, the more you understand, yeah. So don't worry about, you know. It was very easy for me to read over things that I didn't understand, yeah. I thought, oh, yeah, okay.